You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This FPL season has definitely been go, go, go. A nonstop hustle all the time. Matches, deadlines, unexpected blank and double game weeks, on top of everything the real world has had in store. Sometimes you need a moment to turn off and hit reset. That's when you reach for Coors Light. It's made to chill. For me personally, supporting Fulham during this last year has been a true roller coaster ride. Honestly, when that Adama Traore goal flew past Areola in the 92nd minute of game week 31, the only thing that saved my mental state, the only thing that calmed my nerves, was cracking open a Coors Light. There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. The mountains on the bottles and cans even turn blue when your beer is cold. That way, you always know when it's time to chill. When you need to hit reset, just open a Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment made to chill. And listen, everyone, summer is pretty much here. It's about to get hot in New York. An ice-cold Coors Light is such a perfect way for me to beat that summertime heat. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light and the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And as always, celebrate.
Hail cheaters, and we're back. This is the Always Cheating Podcast. My name is Josh. I'm here with Brandon. Brandon, how are you?
Man, there's something about this, Josh, where I feel like we're still like jet skiing over the wake of last season. It's like the last season was a freighter going down the channel, and we're just like jet skiing over the trail of it. And it feels kind of good. We met up a couple of nights ago just to do a little bit of preseason planning for the pod and it was just sort of a always cheating retreat, such as it was during these strange times. And it was crazy to me how quickly we went from, thank God that season's over, to, holy cow, let the next season begin. The excitement is just kind of like immediately bubbling back up.
Yeah, and I think, especially in America, where it's just like everything about American sport, outside of the NBA, which is like the NBA pulled it off, the bubble is working, congrats to them. The rest of like college football, which, you know, I'm not like the biggest college football fan, but certainly, you know, you and I both went to Big Ten school, like college football is a big thing, and that's just like done. NFL, who knows what's going to happen there. Baseball, it's like, you can barely talk about baseball because you're talking about like COVID cases all the time. And so it's like, I just want like the Premier League was, even without fans in the stands, it was like a pretty normal experience, you know, like outside, you know, once you adjusted to the fake crowd noise, it was like, this is good. This is sports. This is fun. And so, yeah, bring it on. It kicks off in about a month. And so we're doing, this is an annual podcast for us. We always do it before the season starts, and it's our price prediction podcast. So we just try to predict, we go through all 20 teams. Obviously it's just a couple players per team. I try to give at least one player a pick. It's like when I was a kid and the Detroit Tigers were always really terrible. But there's a rule in Major League Baseball that for the All-Star game, one player must be picked from every team.
Yeah. And so Josh, it's up to the listeners now, Josh, to guess which one Newcastle player that you selected to feature in our price prediction.
Yeah. I was going to call it the West Brom rule, but yeah, I think Newcastle, Newcastle works too. We're going to go run through a bunch of different players. We're also going to talk about some of the new signings that are coming through and try to predict the price for people like Timo Werner. It's the one where like you and I just famously make a ton of bad predictions. I like never get anyone's position correct. And I think it was one year you said you thought Mo Salah was going to come in at, was it like 7.5 million or something like that?
I will never forget the phrase I used in that price prediction pod when I called Mo Salah wildly inessential. And, you know, prediction is a mug's game, and everyone knows that. But we're kind of here. We're kind of here on an FPL podcast to prognosticate. It's kind of why people listen, and B, it's kind of fun. So let's put ourselves out there, Josh. If we get it wrong, so be it. We can live to podcast another day.
That's right. This is like the this is not the like sit down with a notepad and pay attention kind of podcast. This is a you got your feet in the kiddie pool and you just want something to listen to. You know, that's what this is. Our summertime price prediction pod.
I like so that. For a dopamine drip, but you went for the we're actually on vacation and maybe we've got a pina colada in our hand while we listen to some FPL content. That's exactly what it is.
That's right. Exactly. So we're going to just keep the tone pretty light today, and we're going to try to predict as many teams as we can get through before we collapse. So before we do, just a quick thank you. A bunch of new patrons, Brandon, since the season ended, and you can become an Always Cheating patron at any time. You go to patreon.com/alwayscheating to do that. We're not going to hit you too much with the Patreon push right now. Obviously, the season hasn't quite kicked off yet. But you know, you can become a patron at any time and just to say thank you. And we have a new Volkswagen patron. Thank you to Harold Miguel Martinez at the Lord Zola tier, Noel Tan, Susan Shaw, and Pete Fellows. And at the Pookie patron level, NPass and Anders Landholm. So thank you to all the new patrons, and a quick shout out to producer patron FPL Merch, aka Ross Shorland. Anyone who's been on Twitter the last couple of weeks may have seen that he created a Kickstarter for his high-end FPL custom mugs that he created. So if you want to support someone in the FPL community, you can check out his Kickstarter. Just go to FPL Merch, no space, on Twitter, and you can find a link there. I'm sure you can go to Kickstarter too and hunt around, but that seems like the easiest way to do it. So patreon.com/alwayscheating. And we have a bunch of new stuff that we're going to talk about in upcoming podcasts. But I think the coolest thing is that we're finally making, as promised at the end of last season, a Make Fantasy Fun Again t-shirt. So, Brandon, I think you're working on the mock-ups right now.
Yeah, it's going to be great. And, you know, there are tiers there where you get a free t-shirt and you'll get one. And I wanted to just, well, you and I both want this, Josh. We're not just going to have this opening the season with a theme, Make Fantasy Fun Again. Is it possible that we go through the entire 2021 season where Making Fantasy Fun is the overriding theme? Or will we get to say, what's the over-under on us? Yeah, exactly, where we're like, well, this is another crap season.
I am really going to – I'm going to be – I don't know. It sounds like you're in recovery, but I'm really going to try to be process focused this season, not results focused, if at all possible. We'll see how that goes. But so I think that's that, you know, so we'll talk more about that later. Champions League, Europa League. I did watch a little bit of the Man United match today. I watched extra time of that one. And I'm sort of in kind of two minds about these matches, because on the one hand, it's going to be really screwy for the Premier League if these teams make the Champions League and Europa League finals. On the other hand, how cool would it be if Wolves won the Europa League and played in the Champions League next year?
It would be sick. It would be really cool. Yeah. And the thing that makes it screwy for listeners out there who aren't fully aware is there is basically a guarantee for all of these teams that they'll get 4 weeks off between the end of their season, such as it is, these European competitions. So that includes City playing in the Champions League. That includes United and Wolves playing in the Europa League. So when the Premier League kicks off September 12th, there's a very good chance that one or two, if not all three of those Premier League teams I just mentioned, won't be starting in game week one because they're still taking their mandated time off. So that means you got a lot of great FPL assets that could be on the back burner for a couple of weeks. And B, maybe we could see some very early double game weeks because of it, which is very intriguing for those managers in the know.
Yeah, I think we could see double game weeks. I think, you know, it's interesting because they haven't actually released the schedule yet. I think there's a chance we see that schedule within the next few days. Normally it would take a little bit longer, but given the quick turnaround time, I think we'll see a schedule fairly early. But they could, I suppose, if they haven't released the schedule yet. It's always hard to work these things out because it's like, you know, it's like you can't have two clubs in the same area play on the same day because of police and that stuff. But you'd wonder if like there was a way they'd set it up so that Man United and Wolves were set to play each other in game week one or something. You know what I mean? So that like it would be a little easier to schedule. It wouldn't affect four teams. It would just affect two.
Yeah.
But that's just like total blind speculation. Yeah. And Man City, I mean, they play, you know, is it Lyon? I think
they play Lyon. They've got basically, I mean, Lyon, we have to give them credit for what they've, how far they've progressed. But of all the matchups, you talk about Barcelona playing Bayern Munich. Like, that's just a massive classic Champions League matchup. City, for all intents and purposes, have a bye playing against Lyon. I mean, City have great penchant for blowing it in the Champions League. So we'll see what happens.
This is going to come back. Yeah. When Lyon win 2-1 on Friday or whatever that match is, those words are going to come back to haunt you. But I agree. I mean, I think, and I really want to see, I mean, I want to see Man City play Barcelona or Bayern. I mean, either, I mean, Bayern actually is the team that I think has got to be the favorite to win it. Right
now. Well, and that would be a great narrative for Pep playing. I mean, if there could be a three-way match where Barcelona plays Bayern and Man City at the same time, that would be a true Pep derby. The narrative, though, Josh, that I'm actually rooting for the most is in the Europa League, and there could be a final between Inter Milan and Manchester United. And I have always, I'm not the only one. You love him too, Josh, Romelu Lukaku. Oh, I would love to see Lukaku absolutely destroy Manchester United single-handedly, and by all accounts, I didn't watch a single minute of the match, but Rom had his way against Leverkusen today in the Europa League, and I would just love to see him get his due against that team that he just never found a way to really utilize him the way he ought to have been.
Well, I think he was partially responsible for that.
Fair enough. Yeah, that was just me. That was a lazy phrasing on my part. Yeah, maybe Rom, you should have tried a little harder.
That's a nice. I think what's a nice podcast today, Brandon. So we'll just leave it at that. All right. So let's get to our price predictions. We want to jump right into it, but a quick heads up, Brandon. We have our friends at Fantasy Football Hub, and we've been friends with them for quite a long time now. Are offering 30% off to Always Cheating listeners.
Wait, Josh, are you saying this is a special deal just for the people who are listening to the Always Cheating podcast? Have I got that right?
That's right. And it's, I guess, you know, you made it, Brandon. When people just offer you free stuff for your list, it's like a swag bag, Brandon. It's like, you know, you go to like a movie premiere and you get your little plastic bag.
Get the iPod shuffle, you know, just fresh off the line from Cupertino. I love it.
So you go to fantasyfootballhub.co.uk/always30 to get a discount. And Fantasy Football Hub, we've talked about them before, but it's, you know, the greatest fantasy minds managing today. I mean, just really top, very smart, very serious, very interesting managers. Matthew Perry and Adam Hopcraft and like a billion more. I kind of reluctant to even name a couple because there's so many big ones on there. And people whose just opinions I really respect about the game. Get access to all of the data, real OptiStats, easy to use player comparison tools. They have these great game week planning tools like advanced fixture tickers, custom spreadsheets created by the man himself, Brandon Ben Krellen.
And you, get access shout out to Ben Krellen, the one and only.
Yep. And access to chat with other managers, including private slash or stroke, as they say in the UK, Brandon, private stroke secret WhatsApp groups. So you can access a private conversation.
Josh, let me tell you, my wife's family is on WhatsApp all the time. And as far as I'm concerned, that is a secret WhatsApp group because I don't want to know what's going on in there. but when Adam Hopcroft is on the horn, I want to know. So, right, you visit fantasyfootballhub.co.uk/ as you say, always 30. And it's always 30 because when you go to fantasyfootballhub.co.uk/always 30, you get 30% off of whichever tier you choose. And when you choose one of those tiers, you get access to that stuff that Josh went through, the Optistats, the access to these managers, the comparison tools. So I hope it's a great deal that our listeners can take advantage of if they so choose.
That's right, Brennan. Okay, taking a break. Back with player predictions. All right, Brandon, we're back. Player predictions. As I noted before, I have players, at least one from every team. Some teams like Arsenal, I've got four. I guess I got four from Chelsea. Lots of Liverpool. Aston Villa, you get one. Sorry, Aston Villa. So we've got the prices here. We've got some FPL stats from the season. We have their starting price for last season, their end price. And then you and I are going to make our predictions, and then we'll post it online so that people can laugh at us when the actual prices come in a couple of days. And so we'll update that. And I actually think that this is a fun thing to do. And it's just, I think it's just, you know, obviously there's a lot of chatter right now about what, you know, people like Trent are going to come in at. But I also think writing it down is very useful because you can see where the value is or where maybe there's a lack of value. You know, if you predict that someone's going to come in at 8.5 million and they come in at 7 million, that may be the kind of player you want to target, you know, with your team and vice versa. You know, if you really rate somebody as a 8 million player and they come in at 9.5, maybe that's the Pepe territory. Maybe that player is a stay away.
We're not predicting prices, Josh, so much as we're predicting sentiment.
The future. Yeah.
Or the future. Yeah. I'm basing this on sort of overall sentiment, the color of the aura that surrounds Nicolas Pepe as opposed to his price.
Yeah. His crystals. Mm-hmm. All right, Brandon, we're going to kick things off with Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang. I think the most hilarious thing about Aubameyang, 22 goals, 5 assists, 37 bonus points, starts the season at 11 million, ends the season at 10.9 million. How did he lose money by the end of the season?
Yeah, the problem with Aubameyang last season was he was one of the best strikers in the game playing on one of the most unpredictable attacks in the game. Yeah. He was the only, it was like a blessing and a curse. If you knew Arsenal had a good run coming up, there was only one player you had to worry about. So you went on Aubameyang. But the issue was there was, for large swaths of the season, no one around Aubameyang to help him. So, you know, it was always seemed like a good idea to go on Aubameyang, and then, you know, Arsenal's form would just crater and you had to dump him. So in a sense, it was an uphill battle for Aubameyang to almost break even on his price. So I golf clap him for his 10.9 finishing price.
It's just crazy to me that, I mean, to finish with over 200 points and to be sort of just almost irrelevant to fantasy. You know, he's not irrelevant exactly, but he you can kind of just go a whole season without him, you know.
Well,
it's like, and you kind of never have him, and it's fine.
You think that's true, but I can think of two distinct moments in my FPL management career, and yes, I'll use that word career, I'll use it again too. Where I could have had a much better season if I had just had the courage to captain Aubameyang. And it's like, he continues to be a great asset there for you. And it was a triple captain 2 seasons ago where I played conservatively, and I don't remember who I put the triple captaincy on, but it was like a muted return where Aubameyang actually got a hat trick. And then game week 38 of this most recent season, I had the option to put the armband on Aubameyang, and I decided to go City against Norwich, and Aubameyang 2 goals and an assist, 3 bonus. He's always there for you. And it's not that you can ignore him. It's that you just choose to ignore him.
Here's the thing about Aubameyang that I feel like we don't emphasize enough, which is that he is now the premier flat track bully in the Premier League. Okay. He has, yeah. I think it's he had five. He had five double digit returns on the season. Four of those five came in the home and away match versus Watford and the home and away match versus Norwich. When Arsenal are playing a terrible team, it is a great time to captain Aubameyang. So that is just like, that is a little fun fact for you that you can just keep there. And it's like, it'll really, when he's playing relegated teams, he is at his absolute best. Now that is true of most people, but he is so talented that he is kind of exceptionally valuable in those circumstances.
In that fantasy context, for sure, because when we're looking for captainable assets, when we're in that player price bracket of Aubameyang, and you look at Arsenal, you know, coming off of their FA Cup win, Arteta feels like he's got, you know, the pistons pumping there. If Arsenal get better, if Willian improves the team, if I don't know if they get Coutinho, imagine Coutinho playing behind Aubameyang, then Aubameyang well and truly is worth that starting price from game week one. And I think you just, he can only get better, I believe.
So we're going to do that classic thing where we spend like 9 minutes on the first player and we have like 40 players left. So, so Aubameyang, what is his starting price for the 2020-21 season?
Okay, so finished at 10.9. My prediction here is 11.5. And I showered this man with praise, but there is this sort of unspoken ceiling of 12 to 12.5 million for, you know, premier assets in FPL. And I think Aubameyang will benefit from still being in a sub top four club. And 11.5 is that enticing price to keep managers interested. I mean, would you go higher than 11.5, Josh?
I have 11. I thought maybe they would just keep him right at 11. I mean, I don't know if that's my feeling just because he actually went down in price a little bit, and it's sort of like what you were saying, where he kind of earned out, you know, he earned out his price. It's like it's like justifying your seed in tennis. You know, if you're a seven seed, you make the quarterfinals, you've justified your seed. Maybe he, that's just 11 is his kind of happy zone. So this is assuming he resigns, is he done it yet? Or he has actually, I think they finally, I can't remember if it was rumored or if he'd actually signed the contract extension.
Let's just pretend he has.
Yeah. This is the classic problem with these price prediction podcasts. Like players like Will Zaha are just like, they leave for, you know, France by the time the podcast goes live. So you've got 11.5 million. I have 11 million. I'm going to stick with 11 million for Aubameyang. All right. That brings us to Pepe, who we don't have to spend 8 minutes on him, but I think he's interesting if he comes in at the right price. So he came in at 9.5 million, dropped to 8.9 by the end of the season. 5 goals, 6 assists, 9 bonus points. Nothing to talk about, but looked a lot better over the course of the season. And by the FA Cup final, he actually looked like quite a dangerous player and somebody who could be valuable next season. So what are your thoughts on Pepe?
So I think FPL is going to have to price to sell for Pepe because people were just completely disinterested. And I agree, he could be a differential here if he's priced right. So I've got 8.5. And I think his price is a little dependent on what Willian's price ends up being because, and we can talk about this when we get to Willian, because they are kind of playing off of each other in that Willian, attacking as he is the assist man. And you would think Pepe's brand should be the goal scoring guy. So what does Pepe's price tell you about Willian? So that's why I've settled on 8.5 for him. I just don't think there's any way they can come close to 9.5 given how much of how bad he was for managers when he came into Arsenal.
I went even lower. I went 8 million. And honestly, I mean, given his returns last season, I think even 7.5 would be fair. I mean, Aaron Ramsey used to come in right around 7.5, 8 million, you know, with similar returns. So, I think 8. So All right, we have an interesting pattern already being established here, Brandon, where you are consistently 0.5 million higher than me.
So. Listen, when I go and order my vehicle, I want the spoiler, I want the mud flaps. I'm getting all the bells and whistles on these players. I'm willing to pay the extra 0.5, apparently.
All right, this next one's just for fun. This is a quick one, but Mesut Ozil, Brandon, your boy. One goal, three assists last season. Started at 7.5, went all the way down to 6.9, which actually it was amazing that his ownership was high enough that he was able to drop 0.6, right? You can't just drop 0.6 without a lot of people shedding you, you know, from their team. So what does Mesut Ozil come in at, Brandon?
Great game of how low can you go? And I think 6.5 is probably the basement for Ozil. I mean, genuinely, he should be like a 5.0 bench fodder player. He is basically, he's a Todd Cantwell midfielder. But here's the problem that FPL has.
Todd Cantwell.
It is. I mean, I'd like to see Mesut Ozil with cornrows for once, but... If FPL goes ahead and prices him at 5.0 and miracle upon miracle, Ozil just starts starting every match, then the FPL game has exploded. So I think 6.5 is as low as you can go here.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, yeah, one goal and three assists is a bad return for a 4.5 million player. I have 6.5 though, too. I think you're right. I think there must be some kind of, I don't actually know what kind of science they use, but it's hard to imagine him dropping like that much, right? A million dropped, like you said. If he played all 38 weeks, he might get up to two goals and four assists or something like that, you know, if he was playing every minute of the season or something like that. So I think this is if he doesn't leave, but I think his contract is too expensive and nobody can afford him. So we just, as an Arsenal fan, I get to enjoy many more years of Mesut Ozil in my team. Just he's like drawing a gigantic salary.
He's like the mother-in-law living above the garage, just, you know, never going to leave.
So you mentioned Willian. I put him in the Arsenal section. It looks like that's a done deal. It has not been signed yet, but I think there's too much smoke for there not to be, for the signing to take place. Interesting player. Had probably his best ever season in the Premier League. Turns 32, I think, this week, maybe tomorrow, actually. Nine goals, nine assists, 26 bonus points. Was quite good for Chelsea down the stretch. Started the season at 7 million, ended at 7.3. What is his price, Brandon?
Again, not to hit this too hard, but I do think that Arsenal are going to get a big bump going into this season. And Willian is going to come in at 8.0. And there is a bit of a function here on the pitch where that's why I decided to put Pepe at 8.5, because I just think he is the goal scorer where Willian is the provider. And that's why I wouldn't go higher than 8.0. And I 7.5 seems logical here, but 8, I just think he's going to get inflated because of people being bullish on Arsenal. So it's 8 for me.
8 for you. Yeah. I mean, when you finish 8 out of 20, Brandon, you deserve all the bumps that you can get in terms of player prices. You know?
It's big. It's a big spot to finish. Top of the table, baby. Top half.
I have Willian at 8 million as well. So you and I are in agreement on Willian's price. I just think that kind of makes sense. 7.5 would not shock me just because he has been a 7.5 million player kind of his whole – he's like the definition of a 7.5 million player. Mm-hmm. But given how good he was last season and given that bump that I think you're right that he might get – which is kind of funny because he's moving from a Champions League club to an eighth place club. But yeah, I do think that he's, I think he starts at 8. All right. So that's the Arsenal section. I mean, we can't cover everybody. So I'm just sort of picking some people from various clubs. Jack Grealish from Aston Villa, Brandon. We'll see if he's still on Aston Villa, which actually could have an impact on his price. You know, if he's still at Aston Villa, whereas if he moves to, where would he move, Brandon? Spurs? I don't know.
Yeah, I think Manchester United might be on the table if these rumors about the Sancho move not happening are true. So maybe that's money right. that United have earmarked for Sanchez, and they're like, okay, let's just buy the other English guy who's on the market. Yep. And I do think that Jack will probably get the England bump here.
first name basis.
Yeah, me and old Jakey boy. Haven't you noticed how low I'm wearing my socks these days, Josh, and my floppy haircut? I think he gets a huge bump at 7.0. And it's kind of like it's a bit of a talisman price, I think. If you look at what he did for Villa, I mean, he kind of dragged them across the finish line. But as far as FPL is concerned, 6.5 seems fair, but I think he gets bumped up to 7.
Started the season at 6, ended at 5.9. His price was up to 6.7 at one point. 8 goals, 7 assists, 19 bonus points on the season. Brandon, this is 3 in a row for us. I have him at 7 million as well.
Wow. Okay. Great minds.
So this is rare for us. Yeah, I know. We started off with you wildly overestimating everybody's price. Now we're simpatico. Let's see what happens with the next one, Brandon. This is probably the most exciting player we're going to talk about. Leandro Trossard, Brandon. Brighton's Trossard. And First of all, I wanted a player from Brighton, and Mappe seemed like a boring pick because he's just going to come in at 6 million next season, maybe 6.5. Trossard, though, is a player who is in that Dwight McNeil category of being very interesting if he's priced nicely. And Trossard had 5 goals and 5 assists in 31 matches last season. I thought he looked really good and dangerous down the stretch. The few times I caught Brighton play, started the season at 6 million, went down to 5.8. What is Trossard's price, Brandon?
Okay, I'm going to call Trossard's price as if it's broke, don't fix it. So he will come back into the season where he started last season at 6 million.
Okay, all right. Now the other pattern has been reestablished. I have 5.5 million. For Trossard. So I think he's going to come in at 500,000 cheaper than you. I 6 would not shock me. But maybe this might be a wishful price on my end. I want him to come in at 5.5. I think he would be really fun at 5.5.
So yeah, if you 6, will it, Josh, yeah. It is no dream.
There's a classic thing with FPL pricing where they always price somebody 500,000 higher than you want them to be. So it's almost like when you're doing the price prediction thing, it's like, what is the, so it may, I would not be surprised if he did come in at 6. It's like, what is the number that would annoy me? And it's, I think it's 6 million. So yeah, I mean, we're kind of in this funny, we're in like a bunch of one-offs here, but Burnley, I think the obvious player the player we have to kind of shout out and discuss here is Pope, Nick Pope, 15 goals. That'd be amazing. 15 clean sheets, 23 bonus points. Started the season at only 4.5 million. I forgot he started the season that low.
That's wild.
Crazy.
Yeah.
And ended the season at 5.2 million, which is pretty high for a goalkeeper to go that high. So what do you think that Nick Pope starts next season at, price-wise?
I mean, if I'm sure of any price on this list, it's Nick Pope. He's 5.5. You know, it's done. You know, we don't even need to discuss it, right?
I have the same price. I agree. I think 5.5 all the way. If the problem and the reason he has to be is because if he was 5 million, everyone would have him. His ownership would be 50% or something at the start of the season, unless Burnley had just, you know, awful fixtures. Yeah. That 5.5.
If he's 6.0, no one has him though. Then everyone's going for De Gea or, you know, you sacrifice a City attacker to get Ederson or something like that. So it's by necessity he's at 5.5.
All right. We have a bunch of Chelsea players now, Brandon, including some new signings. It was kind of hard to pick the ones to talk about here. So I picked, I guess I've got 3 midfielders and a forward here. Christian Pulisic, the obvious candidate. Let's assume that he is healthy and, you know, is going to be able to be available somewhere near the start of the season. Christian Pulisic started the season at 7.5 million, ended the season at 7.4. Would have probably been higher than that if he hadn't battled some injuries over the course of the season. I really hope that's not a recurring theme for him, by the way, because he's kind of slight, you know, and I do worry that this might be a...
We kind of need him here stateside, just as an aside.
Yeah, we do. Looks awesome when he's fit and in form. 9 goals and 8 assists in only 25 matches. You know, quite an excellent return considering that a lot, and I think even some of those 25 matches he came off the bench. And so, yeah, so 7.5 million starting price, 7.4 is where he ended. What do you think Pulisic starts the 2021 season at, Brandon?
Yeah, I think he's due for a pretty significant bump given it's a combination of when he was healthy, he was rather consistent with his FPL returns. And when he was getting FPL returns, it wasn't out of the question for him to go double digit. So I think he right. has to come in with a significant bump over 7.5. How high does it go? I think you've got to limit it at 8.5, you know, for fear of us getting overloaded with premium midfielders. So 8.5 is where I landed.
He is the definition of an 8.5 million midfielder, Brandon. I totally agree with you there. It's like he's the Nick Pope of midfielders. It's like yeah. if he came in at any price but 8.5, I'd be shocked. It just seems like the perfect price. A nice little jump from last season, not too high. You yep. know, you don't want to create another Nicolas Pepe situation. All right. So I think an interesting one after Pulisic is Mason Mount, who was he started yeah. the season 6 million, ended at 6, was up to 6.9 million. I mean, there was a moment around like game week 11 or something where Mason Mount was like the most valuable player in fantasy for like 2 weeks. And you just kind of like build your team around getting Mason Mount in. And then he fell off for like the last, you know, 18 weeks or so. So what do you think Mason Mount comes in at to start the 2021 season?
I feel like I'm a little high on Mount, but here's my theory. So I think a team like Chelsea that has all of these mid-range assets with great attacking potential, FPL is going to have to price them so they're rotatable. And that's the game that you have to play, where you have to follow mm-hmm. the form player and you have to stake your team on, well, Pulisic just did his hamstring again. Who can I get for him? And Mason Mount is going to be the substitute. So I don't think you can underprice right. him because of that. 7.5 is where I landed. I think that's a huge jump from 6.0, but this guy got so many starts under Lampard, yeah. and I think he, with free kick access, with corner kick access, 7.5 isn't out of the question.
You're not going to believe this. I have 7 million for his price, Brandon.
So okay, so guaranteed 7.5 then, because you want him at 7.0.
That's actually true. I'm just surprised that you and I have either been exactly the same or you've been 0.5 higher than me on virtually everything so far. All right. So that brings us to we have two kind of wild cards here. And I think you and I will not be quite the same in price for these two. Hakim Ziyech. I hope I'm saying that correctly.
I think he's got the hard CH at the end. I could be wrong about this, but I think it's Ziyech. Yeah.
Ziyech. Okay. Yeah. So forgive me. I will by like game week 27 or so, I really hope to
we'll
have that pronunciation down. real struggle for me for some reason. So, a lot of excitement, but I kind of dwarfed by the Timo Werner stuff, but a lot of excitement about him. 8 goals, 21 assists, and 35 appearances for Ajax. I think what's interesting about him is that he's 27 years old. So he is a player who, in some ways, you'd expect to come in a little more fully formed than some
he's peaking.
Of these. Yeah, this isn't like a Christian Eriksen coming from the Dutch League thing where, you know, it might take 3 or 4 years before they're, you know, before they're ready. He should be awesome from the start. So, no price here, you know, obviously no historical price for him. What do you think that Hakim Ziyech comes in at?
Yeah, I think they're going to price him a little high based on that promise. And if he fulfills the promise, then he's going to need to be that high. And I mean, it would be great if we ended up with a Riyad Mahrez situation where it's, you know, Zia comes in at 6.5, but I'm feeling 9.0 for Hakim right now.
Okay. I couldn't remember what I put down. Now I'm looking, I have 8.5 million
for Hakim. the theme continues. The theme continues. This is riveting stuff here, Joshua.
Usually we're not this like it's like we're like two binary stars or something. It's like we're just sort of hovering 0.5 million apart. Let's hope we're different on this one, Brett. I think we will be. Timo Werner, 34 goals, 13 assists, and 45 appearances for RB Leipzig. He's one of those players who, you know, one of the great, it was just fun to do Fantasy Bundesliga this summer. It was, especially during the few weeks before the Premier League season started, it was, incredible respite after no sports for months. And I had Werner in my fantasy team, I think, the entire time. And he is awesome. Like, he is just a classic. Well, I mean, I don't know. I was going to say a classic modern striker or not, but he's sort of classic striker who can do a lot of different things. He can play with another forward. He can play solo. He can play on the left, with a leading striker, in front of him. Just really versatile, big guy. I don't think he's going to struggle to adapt to the physicality of the Premier League too much. And I do think that the Bundesliga probably prepares you for that more than some other leagues. So, what do you think about Werner just in general?
I like him. I mean, my first encounter with Werner was playing the World Cup fantasy game in 2018, I guess that was. And Werner was pegged to be the starting striker for that German squad, the German squad that ended up absolutely tanking in the qualifying rounds or the group stage. So it kind of ruined my taste buds, my Werner taste buds after that. But the other thing I had that I always think about when we talk about Timo Werner is we're both Michigan boys. There is a unique soft drink in the state of Michigan. It's a ginger ale called Werner's with a V.
That's true.
So I can't help but feel that effervescent ginger ale bubble on my tongue when I think of Timo Werner. You had mentioned Diego Costa a couple of weeks ago when Werner came up, and I thought about that and I kind of sat with that, and I think you're right. And the thing with Chelsea is for the last couple of years, they just haven't had a striker. You think of this season where Abraham, there was a lot of responsibility put on his shoulders at the start, and he tried to carry it and then he gave way, and, yeoman Olivier Giroud comes in, and Werner is the Champions League starting striker for Chelsea, and they're going to price him accordingly. And the Diego Costa model for me here is 10.0.
Yeah. So we are finally a little different. I have him at Diego Costa too, but to me, Diego Costa is 10.5. That's okay, why that's
you're
the
Costa higher
person
than
in my head. Uh-huh. Yeah. So I have him at 10.5. I think, I just think he's going to be so good right away. And I think that he's the kind of player who, we'll see how he adjusts and how long it takes for him to adjust. But I think the game can't price him too low just in case he is awesome. We'll see. Maybe he's like another Higuain, and it's like a total flop. But or Alvaro Morata. Remember Alvaro Morata, Brandon?
Dear God, do I?
Yeah. All right, good. So we're finally reversed in terms of price here. Let's move on to Crystal Palace. I only have one player here, Will Zaha. And here's what blew me away, Brandon, about Will Zaha when I was pulling his fantasy stats from last season. 4 goals, 6 assists, terrible for someone of his talent. 4 bonus points, also terrible. In 38 appearances, I was like, when his returns were that bad, I was like, well, surely he must have missed 9 matches or something with injury. He played in every single game and still finished with 4 goals and 6 assists. Yeah. Like, I get that he wanted to leave, but geez.
Play a season like that and you're never going to leave.
That's exactly right. I don't understand these players who, I mean, it's only human to sulk a little bit, but you have to get over it, because otherwise, this is like Luis Suarez had this, his final season at Liverpool, he was, tried to go to Barcelona and then had the Arsenal bid $1 over his opt-out clause or whatever. And he was sulking, and then he came out and he was awesome. And he went to Barcelona the next year, when the Champions League with him. It's like, you just can't, if you sulk and play terribly, then yeah, you really will never leave, I just wanted to yell at him for a second.
Good. He deserved it. He deserved it.
He's a fun player. I like him when I feel like when he's motivated, I like that he treats the Palace Brighton Derby seriously. Like he's just kind of fun. I like Zaha, but I don't know. Yeah. Just gave me left a bad taste in my mouth for him to be so kind of checked out this year. So what's your price prediction for Will Zaha?
All right. I'm filing Zaha in my if it's broke, don't fix it category, along with Trossard. So he started last season at 7.0, and he'll begin next season at 7.0.
Okay. Well, I have the he disappointed but can't fall too far. So I have met 6.5 million. Mm-hmm. I've got him 0.5 cheaper than you, as expected.
Price to buy.
Okay. Here's an interesting one. Richarlison. Neither of our favorite player. But 13 goals, but had a pretty good season, admittedly. 13 goals, 5 assists, 13 bonus points. Started the season at 8 million, ended at 8.2. So a little rise. He kind of – sometimes this ending price is a reflection of just like how many people bought you those last couple of weeks, you know. But did end the season pretty well. And, I mean, at this point, like – you know, I mean, a double digit, you know, goal scoring return. I mean, it's pretty impressive. One question I have for you is, do you think that that Richarlison gets reclassified as a forward next season?
I doubt it. I mean, I think they, with Dominic Calvert-Lewin being a fantasy darling and Moise Keane, I think Moise Keane will, I can't remember if he was a lone player or not for them. But they do have, you know, proper number 10s there, and Richarlison I think would be a little deeper lying. Richarlison will be vaporized. He has been vaporized by FPL the last season. I think he will again this season because he's the best FPL asset on a crappy team. 8.0, yeah. There's a reason why no one ever talked about Richarlison last season, because 8.0 was just a non-starter. He needs to be priced at 6.5 for people to play for him, but because he is the best player in that squad attacking-wise, he's going to be priced up, I think, to 8.5.
Yeah. Sorry, I got to pull up my price here. I have him at 8.0. I think 8.5 is actually a reasonable shout. If I thought it through, I may have adjusted it to 8.5. Just he did slightly improve on the previous season's returns. Everton in the end played okay down the stretch. I don't know. I mean, Dominic Calvert-Lewin needs to score more goals. That seems like a, I don't know how, like, you know, they might just need a better forward, really. I mean, you know, he's a pretty good player, but he feels like a good backup.
I mean,
good starter.
I hear you. I think that's pretty unkind, though, because you just look at Everton and they have no midfield. Like, what did you expect from? Yeah. Like, it's a miracle that Richarlison got the returns that he did, but that team's midfield is non-existent. So Calvert-Lewin has proved himself in my eyes.
But zero goals and zero assists in the final 10 fixtures of the season. That's not great.
Yeah, how many goals did Everton have? Full stop. Probably zero. So
I don't know. My boy Richarlison had 3 goals in the final 6. That's more than the supposed forward in the team. So
Fair enough. Everton need to sign some players in a major way, and that's just a fact.
Yeah. They're so stuck. I feel like they're in a really tricky spot, you know, where they sort of, it feels like they get everybody's like second. It's like, you know, it feels like they're like, hey, maybe Grealish will go to Man United, or, you know, maybe Everton, you know, be like, hey, maybe Will Zaha will go to Arsenal, or, you know, maybe Everton. Yeah. And it's like the Everton, they sort of become this team where it's like the player who's not quite good enough to join the other club joins them. You know, Gylfi Sigurdsson, being the case, you know, a couple of years ago. And I mean, Richarlison actually was a good signing. I mean, there's no question about it. I mean, you bring in a signing and they score 26 goals over the first 2 seasons. It's, you know, as an attacking midfielder, that's pretty strong. But they just need more. I agree.
Yeah, that's the first and last time that Marco Silva will get any credit on the Always Cheating podcast. So well done there.
I always look cool on the sidelines. One more Everton player. It's our Everton section, Brandon. I want to go deep. Lucas Dean, slightly underrated season in the end. 8 assists, 9 clean sheets, 16 bonus points. I thought he was quite dangerous down the stretch. I feel like I maybe because I had Dominic Calvert-Lewin for some of his matches, but I feel like I watched a fair number of Everton matches and I was always pretty impressed with Dean. His returns on the stretch were okay because he had 3 assists in the final 9 matches and 1, 2, 3 clean sheets. What do you think about Lucas Dean? What do you think it comes in at?
So we talk a lot about making fantasy fun again on this pod, but I think we need to make Lucas Dean fun again. And the only way to do that is to make him a little more affordable. So I think he takes a price cut and comes in at 5.5.
Okay. I have met six. I'm holding the line at six, Brandon. Okay. So, all right. So I'm a little higher than you. I actually like that. I like when we are a little bit different here. All right. We move on now, Brandon.
I can hear you calculating the betting odds in your head while we do this, by the way. You're like, all right.
I'm just punching in the numbers as we go here. we have two promoted clubs next, Brandon. First one is Fulham. I could have put a few different Fulham players on here, but I feel like we're going to talk more about Fulham in our season previews. So just the one player who I think is a really interesting fantasy asset is Mitrovic, who many of us are familiar with already. Had an okay season in the Premier League a couple years ago. Last season was excellent in the Championship. 26 goals, 3 assists, 41 appearances. Golden boot and a very nice assist to help win promotion for
Joe, to Joe Bryan, to the Lord Joe Bryan. Mitrovic did this even on one leg, basically, Mitrovic, and he made it look so easy. Oh, bless.
Is that going to move Joe Bryan from 4.5, where he should be priced, to 5 million at the start of the season?
I can't remember who was talking. Yeah, somebody was, I don't know if it was on Slack or Twitter or where I saw this, but people were lamenting like, oh, Joe Bryan might have been a decent shot at 4.5, but this performance in the Championship playoff final is going to null and void him as an FPL asset. And
he's going to come in at like a Matt Doherty price, like 6 million as 6 million left back.
No, I mean, FPL Towers isn't that silly. I think Joe Bryan's record sort of speaks for itself, and we've got a whole Premier League season of Joe Bryan being in the worst defense on the planet to look back
on. Was he on that Fulham? I can't even remember him on those Fulham teams. That's how dreadful their defense was.
Not to go too far into Fulham corner, but that was one of the horrifying things that happened between Fulham's 2018 promotion and their Premier League season, is they lost their two fullbacks that were so solid for them, Ryan Fredericks and Matt Target, and Joe Bryan came in and he was filling, I guess it was Matt Target's shoes, and it just didn't work. So, and Joe Bryan, will be a legend for that free kick that he scored against Brentford. But Cabano is really the real free kick maestro on this Fulham team. So don't expect Bryan to be taking a bunch of free kicks.
That's a good note. I actually was thinking to myself, I was like, man, he's on free kicks. He comes in at 4.5 million. all right. So Mitrovic, though, I think he came in at 6.5 two seasons ago when they got promoted. What do you think that Mitro comes in at this season?
Yeah, I had that 6.5 price in mind. And I think because of Mitrovic's pedigree and that he's golden boot winner coming into this Premier League season, I think he'll get a tasty little bump up to 7.0. And so that's a price where you think he's got the Premier League track record such as it is, which is kind of dicey, but he's played in the league before. And if he hits the ground running, he will be well worth 7.0. It's like a Danny Ings promise of future returns sort of price.
I have 6.5. I feel like I just think that it makes, that's just, a promoted team, they didn't even qualify first or second. It's like they're not like, 7 feels high for like a brand new player. Like it's sort of like, 7 was like what Allaire came in at last season and ultimately proved to be a little too high, mm-hmm. And so I feel like 6.5, he may come in at 7, but I think 6.5 is the appropriate price for him. So that's what I mean. Again, this could be an example of wishful thinking on my part.
Well, yeah, I totally agree with you. I think 6.5 is the right price, and that would be the price where managers would ultimately bring him in. I think if he's priced at 7.0, most managers in game week 1 will balk. But if at 7.0, if Mitro fires in a goal, if he does a Bafétimbi Gomis, 7.0 is going to feel like a bargain. So it's a trick. I feel like it's a tricky one if he starts to perform right out of the gate.
All right, two more teams, and we're going to take a quick break. Leeds, just quickly, you and I are going to have to do more research on Leeds before we go deep on them. But just two players listed here. One is our boy, Brent. This is like an actual player who usually when I say our boy, I'm talking about someone like Richarlison. But in this case, this is our boy, Brendan, Jack Harrison.
Yeah, we were like
six goals.
I was just going to say we were like Bielsa with the binoculars at Yankee Stadium watching NYCFC scouting Jack Harrison in the flesh when he was a England dropout and ended up on our shores. And he was just a great young talent for NYCFC. Yep. So I'm excited to see him hit the big time here.
Yeah, and not an England dropout, right? Well, he was a Man City loanee, right, to NYCFC. I think that's why he was there.
Something to that effect. I think it's kind of a gray area of who owned him. But yeah, he was part of the City group at the very least.
Gotcha. Okay, gotcha. So I guess I'm jumping over the other player we have here. But yeah, Jack Harrison, 6 goals, 8 assists, 46 appearances last season for Leeds. I think he'll start the season with them. And that's not something I'm 100% sure about, but let's assume that he does. Brandon, what does Jack Harrison come in at next season for Leeds?
6.0. Are you over or are you under?
I'm 0.5 under. I've got him at 5.5 billion.
Damn it.
What is going on? You had too much coffee before this podcast, Brandon.
I guess so. I don't know. I think Leeds are going to have a bit about them. And, they're just like a Premier League club historically, or they're just like a top division club historically. I think they might get inflated a little bit because of that.
Are you similarly kind of excited about them being in the Premier League? Because I think it's kind of cool. Like, I know a lot of people hate Leeds, but the fact that people hate them is part of the fun of it. You know?
Carpetbaggers such as we are, being American fans, we love the folk tales of English football, and we only hear, like, because we're consuming primarily the Premier League, we want these folk tales to be infused into like our main broadcast coverage. So getting Leeds and all that comes with it will only serve to build our more holistic appreciation of English football. So yeah, bring it on.
Yeah. Damn United's a great movie, you know, so I've had a long time interest in Leeds as a club. And the other player is Patrick Bamford, long time kind of in that Anthony Knockhart category where he's like pretty good in the Premier League, pretty good in the Championship, can't quite make it in the Premier League. 16 goals, 4 assists, 45 appearances last year. What do you think Patrick Bamford comes in at?
It's like sub Dwight Gale. He's kind of like a proto Sorloth, right? Like he was on Palace and for whatever reason, no one would play him. He's coming in at 5.5. Signed, sealed, delivered.
I've got 5.5 million too. I think that's the perfect price for him. All right. A couple Leicester players. Jamie Vardy first, of course. Started the season at 9 million, ended the season at 9.7. Go on the golden boot with 23 goals, 7 assists, and 34 bonus points. Brandon, nothing needs to be said about Jamie Vardy except what his price will be next season.
It's a tough one, and I think he could easily be 10.0, but I think we'll agree he's on the downward trajectory of his career, and Leicester, had they impressed down the stretch, maybe he gets 10.0, but I think he comes in at 9.5, which is still an improvement on his starting price from last season.
Okay, wow. This is the first time we've really disagreed because I haven't come in at 10.5 next season.
It's okay. All right.
I mean, he won the Golden Boot. I think he played pretty well. I don't know that I agree with you that he's on the downside of his career. I think that with this modern science, Brandon, and these sports science, the guy can run. I think
he's drinking wine out of a Gatorade bottle. It's the height of sports science right there.
Exactly. I think he's going to come in at 10.5. I mean, they were also really good last season. They almost made the Champions League. Usually, you know, your placement in the league table can be a factor. Players just like mid-table doesn't usually get like a 10 million plus price. So I think 10.5 million and, it's certainly, maybe you make me think I have him a little too high here, but I'm going to stick to my guns.
Okay.
And then the two Leicester mids, Harvey Barnes, I just put in here almost because I was just surprised that he had 10 assists on the season. Double-digit assists for Harvey Barnes last year? I did not realize that. Just feeding Vardy, I guess. Started the season at $6 million, ended at $5.8 million. What is his price next year, Brandon?
I think I'm high on this, but it's kind of what I was talking about with Pepe and Willian. And I think there's it's less that. It's more Pulisic and Mount. And I think Barnes gets a bump because he was so involved with the FPL points, and he's up to 7.0.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's a fair. I have at 6.5, but I do think that 7.0 is reasonable. The double digit assist number was really surprising to me. James Maddison, weird season for him. Kind of was looking like he was going to be really awesome, and then he got injured, and then he kind of just played bad for a long time. So $7 million was his price last season. What do we think that James Maddison starts at this year?
Could have been a little more lofty here if he wasn't injured at the end of the season, but he starts at 7.5.
Yeah, I think $7 million. I just think he's gonna start. He's gonna start where he started last season. But I do think that I think 7.5 is fair. I keep being lower than you, but I also keep thinking that you're being fair here.
Yeah, I think there's a little bit of an inflation with Leicester, because I think that this Leicester team last season outperformed where. Sorry, there's a motorcycle just flying by here. That probably. Sam Maximin flying by my apartment just now. But I think that their prices will get slightly inflated because they overperformed where a lot of people predicted they'd be at the end of last season.
All right, let's take a quick break, and we're going to get back and talk about Liverpool and Man City. Sundays are coming back in the NFL. Possibly Saturdays, too. We'll see what happens with college football. With NFLSundayTicket.tv, you can stream every live out-of-market NFL game every Sunday afternoon on your favorite devices. Those Premier League matches tend to end at 1 p.m., Brandon, on Sunday, just when the NFL matches.
Perfect timing.
Yeah, kick off. Plus Red Zone and DirecTV Fantasy Zone channels. Never miss your favorite teams and favorite players. No matter where you live, Brandon, NFLSundayTicket.tv is your key to the most glorious Sundays ever. And boy, are we going to need some solo TV time this fall, as we all try to say, socially distant. Use the promo code BLUEWIRE at checkout to get 15% off your subscription. That's BLUEWIRE with no space. Visit NFLSundayTicket.tv and use promo code BLUEWIRE.
All right, guys, have you ever heard of DealDash.com? It's the best, most honest bidding site where you can win things you'd never expect at a price you'd never believe. They have over 1,000 auctions every day on electronics, appliances, beauty products, home decor, even cars. Josh, you know I've been shopping for an automobile of late. Here's how it works. It's like an auction, but every item starts at $0 and only goes up 1 cent every time you bid. The kicker is that the auction clock restarts after just 10 seconds. That means every time you bid, everyone else has 10 seconds to answer, or that item is yours. Okay, if you go ahead and buy now, DealDash is offering our listeners an extra 100 free bids upon sign up on top of their other discounts. Go to DealDash.com and use the offer code CHEATING. As in always cheating. Use the offer code cheating or go to deal-.fm/cheating. That's DealDash, DealDash.fm/cheating.
All right, Brad, we're back, and we have some fun teams to come here. The next three, I think, are probably the three most important teams for the 2021 season. How exciting is that, Brandon? Three teams that are very important mm-hmm. to my life, important to yours, important for gamblers, fantasy managers. All right, so we lead things off, Brandon, with a troika of Liverpool defenders. Robertson, Trent, Van Dijk, let's treat them all as a set here. Yeah. So I think Trent, in the end, he was the Trent and Robbo actually started the season at the same price. And they're both 7 million. Trent outperformed Rabo pretty considerably by 30 points in the end. 4 goals, 15 assists, 24 bonus points. Rabo came on really strong late, though, with 2 goals, 12 assists. And then you had Van Dijk with 5-2, a couple more clean sheets because he just plays every single match. And because he plays every match, he actually finished 3 points behind Robertson. So 7 million, 7 million, 6.5 were their starting prices. Rabo and Van Dijk ended at the same price they started at, and Trent ended at 7.7 million. I think it was even higher than that at one point. So let's just go right down the list here, Brandon. Robertson, Trent, Van Dijk, give me your three prices in that order.
Yeah. So have you ever been on a plane, Josh, where the captain gets on and is like, we're going to be slightly delayed with the takeoff because we've got to move the luggage around because sort of like the weight distribution is off on the airplane? That yeah. is what it's like with these Liverpool defenders. And Trent is kind of throwing off the balance of the airplane. And there's no doubt in my mind that he gets an 8.0 price tag. And if you do that, you have to upprice the other Liverpool defenders. Otherwise, everyone's just going to be shifting their weight to the wrong side of the airplane. And suddenly Van Dijk is in everyone's team. So I'm pricing Trent at 8. Robertson, because he's attacking, gets 7.5. And Van Dijk carries a 7.0 price tag.
Yeah, I have the exact same three prices. And to me, it's interesting because there's so much discussion online about this right now. But to me, I think it's so obvious. So those are the three prices that they come in at. You know, if anything, what's interesting is like what happens with Joe Gomez and Joel Matip, right? Mm-hmm. Like if Trent Alexander-Arnold is 8 million and Joe Gomez is like 5 million, that is going to be really tempting. I mean, 3 million is a lot. That is that is a massive difference.
All right, let's do a bonus prediction then. Yeah. Joe Gomez, I'd say he's 6.
I was going to say 5.5. He's just not that good. You know, I think that's really, it does put a cap on. I think six. Well, that actually, you say it's 6 and we say 5.5, we'll be totally in line with where we are with these predictions. I can't wait till these prices come out now and we can compare these. So yeah, so that's, so we're both simpatico on those three prices. I think that's exactly how they're going to come in. And then you have Salah, Mane, and Firmino. And those, I think, are a little more interesting, especially when it comes to Sadio Mane. Mo Salah started the season at 12.5, ended at 12.5, 19 goals, 10 assists, just kind of a ho-hum great season for him. Would have been even higher if he wasn't bad on that ankle injury, I think, in the first, you know, that kind of middle stretch of the season. Sadio Mane started at 11.5, ended at 12.1, and was awesome for huge stretches of time, just not when I triple captained him where I got injured in the 9th minute. So what do you think about Mane and Salah? What do you think their prices are?
I think Mane kind of hit his ceiling this season. I mean, not as you say, he had a ho-hum great season. He had a great season. He continues to be performing at the top level. You know, he's won the league. But I think they keep him at 12.5. I just don't see how you could justify putting a 13 price tag on him. Yeah. And then Mane, the interesting discussion between Mane and Salah all season was, wow, Mane is really making it a competition for FPL managers between these two guys. So I think he's earned a price bump up to 12.0.
Brandon, I am exactly the same with you on that too. We're 5 for 5 so far with Liverpool players. In some ways, it's like these players are almost easier to guess their price because it's they're already so high, you know, that it sort of puts them in a fixed bracket. I mean, Mo Salah is not going to drop to 11 million, you know, after being the second highest points earner in that league last season. Roberto Firmino, we'll see if we can go 6 for 6 here. Mm-hmm. Started the season at 9.5, ended at 9.3, had 9 goals and 9 assists, which I think is just so perfect. Everything about Firmino is 9. You know, it's like he's like a 9 out of 10 forward as a player. His price is always around 9. 9 goals, 9 assists. It's a great balance. It's just like he I think his number is 9, right?
It is 9. Yeah, it's like Arby's 5 for 5, 55. Firmino has got to be priced at 9 million. Yeah.
And I have him at 9 million too. Is that what your price is?
Yeah, 9 for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. I've got him at 9 as well.
This is not a Bundesliga podcast all of a sudden. No. Now we're talking about 9.0.
9.99. I think he's down 0.5 million from last year's starting price, but I think that's appropriate. So, wow, we just went 6 for 6 on Liverpool guesses. I mean, at least in terms of being, you know, the same. We'll see what they actually come in at. A few Man City players. Again, I'm really focusing, with them in particular, I'm not focusing on their defenders too much. Although Laporte, I think, is interesting because he did come out at 6.5 last year. I'd love to see him come down to 5.5. I don't know if that's possible. But let's talk about Aguero. We'll start off with Aguero. 12 million starting price, 11.6 million ending price. Weird year with lots of injuries, but, you know, 16 goals and 6 assists still in the season. Very dangerous, the clear favorite striker when healthy. Which is always a question mark with him. And then, you know, obviously Jesus really came on late. So what do you think Aguero's price is going into next year?
11.5.
Yeah, I have a little. I went 11 million. I think maybe I went a little too low, to be honest. I think 11.5. If I were doing this again, yeah, I know. But it's funny because that's the one though where if I was making this number up now, I might go with 11.5. But I'll stick with my guns at 11 million. Let's jump down quickly to talk about Jesus because 14 goals, 8 assists, 17 bonus points, but really became, it's kind of weird because in some ways he was consistent, but you still felt like he could have done a little better, don't you think, like down the stretch?
Yeah, I don't think any of us were truly convinced by Jesus as the City forward, especially like to give him our faith as a fantasy manager. But I still think because he did enough down the stretch while Aguero was injured, I think there will be some guesswork in terms of how much more Jesus will be involved this season. I think you have to expect there will be continued competition between him and Aguero. He's got to get bumped up. I feel like I could even be a little low with 10.0, but that's where I landed at 10.0.
Yeah, I've got him at 11.0. So, I think that he's going to get the price like... They're going to assume that because we don't even know how long Aguero's out for.
So you're pricing Aguero and Jesus exactly the same.
I am. Interestingly, I hadn't thought about that. But I did, which is kind of funny.
Yeah, I just think that the FPL will be canny enough to, you know, they'll calibrate these prices to make you choose between one or the other.
You could be that's like an advanced game thing that you're talking about here. I was just going player, but Brendan, I just look at the player in front of me, and that's the player I'm
very noble of you. About. Yeah.
And then just because we're talking about pairs here, Sterling and De Bruyne, first, 13 goals, 23 assists, 35 bonus points. Started the season at 9.5, ended at 10.6. Raheem Sterling, 20 goals, 6 assists. Sort of talked about trying to win the golden boot down the stretch, and I thought he was kidding because it seemed so insane. And then he was so incredible down the stretch.
Yeah.
20 goals, 6 assists, 20 bonus points. Started at 12, ended at 12, was kind of, he was a 12 million player. He was basically awesome. He had this kind of loss of form in the winter, but yeah, that happens to everybody. I mean, almost nobody.
Happens to all the guys.
I guess. Yeah. I mean, outside of that one solid season where he scored 33 goals or whatever, it's like they almost all have like a little stretch where they're, you know, not too good, so, or, you know, not at their best. Yeah. So what do you have Sterling and De Bruyne at?
Okay, I actually despite what I was saying about the calibration between Aguero and Jesus, I took your tactic and I've priced them both exactly the same, Sterling and De Bruyne, and then therein lies the game because there's nothing between them. Who will you choose? I mean, for me, the obvious choice in game week one would be De Bruyne, but that will be anxiety inducing. But I think they're both at 12, even.
I initially was with you, and then I actually went 12.5 for De Bruyne. And I think that it's only because the starting price was so much lower last year that doesn't seem like a massive jump. But he was the overall points leader. I think that he is kind of the first name everyone's thinking about for their team, assuming that Man City don't have a couple extra weeks of rest because the Champions League. which will just screw everything up for everybody. And I think that if you're the first name in the team sheet, the game is going to want to make you uncomfortable. They're going to, you know, they're going to put that person at a price that really makes things tricky. And so I think 12.5 is just that, like, makes sure you know, the back of your neck, like, prickle a little bit, like, am I really going to spend 12.5 million a guy who's
goals from, I believe it, you know, for sure.
Depends. Yeah. I mean, God, he was so good in that final game. It just, it leaves like such a taste in your mouth, you know. It's I mean, it was really interesting because, I mean, he has these little stretches where he scores these goals, and he often is really more of an assist guy, really, you know, like, and then he'll have these, a couple matches where, like, all right, I'm just going to do this. You know, it's like, feels like it's often like kind of against the run of play, you know, it's like outside the box, and he's just like, I'm just going to score here. You know, I'm just going to, like, I'm just going to score right now.
Yep.
All right. So, we're pretty close on those. Man United, some interesting, so Jadon Sancho, we just threw him in for fun. You know, let's see if he signs. I mean, who knows? Completely up in the air at this point. But, you know, Borussia Dortmund said we're planning to start the season with him. But you would say that in a negotiation. You would.
Well, he's
no
apparently
to say
he's apparently traveling with them on their, you know, abroad tour right now. So I don't know what that. But yes, I'm with you. It's a lot of smoke and mirrors, and there's so much money wrapped in. Like, you'd buy Jadon Sancho a plane ticket if you thought you could get another $10 million out of Manchester United, wouldn't you?
Yeah, or if it's going to sell more tickets on a traveling, you know, exhibition or whatever, like, that pays for itself. So 20 goals, 20 assists, and 44 appearances for Borussia Dortmund last year. If he joins the Premier League, what price do you think he comes in at?
I've got him at 9.5, and I don't know how controversial that would be. I just think that he's one of these players where there's huge upside for him, and he could get an England bump, but that he doesn't really have the Premier League track record for FPL Towers to go by, and there's a lot of competition for assets in this United side, so I think they had to price him a little competitively. So 9.5 feels right.
I have 11.5. I went way high on him. I just think
that's insane.
He is, well, I mean, he's just, he's an incredible player, incredible talent. And I think that what, you know, I don't know, maybe it's a little high, but I mean, that's like, that's going to be that, like, Bruno Fernandes level where I just think if he comes in, he's going to be super involved in everything. And yeah, maybe I'm like buying into the hype.
Well, they priced Bruno at 8.5.
Yeah, and it was
8.0.
Almost broke the game. It broke the game, Brandon. All right, so Mason, let's take the forwards as a trio again. I like doing this way. I think it's an interesting way to think about it. So you have Greenwood, Martial, and Rashford. First of all, any chance that Rashford and Greenwood end up as midfielders next season?
No. I think the only change that would happen here would be that Martial becomes a forward and no longer a midfield.
Right.
Greenwood plays as a forward.
Greenwood and Rashford.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. It's odd. I guess it's odd that you would have a team, a top four team with coveted FPL assets where they have three playing forwards. I can't remember the last time that I genuinely can't remember the last time that happened. So who's going to, can they do that? Is that legal?
Yeah. Well, it's like, I mean, what I don't understand is, like, is the formation so radically different between these two teams where it's like, between like Liverpool and Man United, where like Liverpool basically have three forwards as well. But those two forwards that, you know, Salah and Mane are classified as midfielders. And in this case, you know, for some reason with them, it's three forwards. And so I'm not sure what the difference is exactly. You know, it's so fluid these days. It makes it kind of tricky, I guess.
It's interesting. I'm trying to just think of like where Mane and Salah would pick up the ball versus Rashford. I think that's something that makes, I don't know. That's complicated, man. We don't have time for that.
It is complicated. All right. So let's just do the prices quickly. Cause this is like a 5-hour podcast. So, Greenwood, Martial, Rashford, give me their prices in that order, Brandon.
Okay, Greenwood, this is just staggering. This is a KDB level jump for Greenwood. And for a 4.5 kid, if he continues to be a regular starter for Manchester United, they have no choice. FPL has no choice but to price him up. So yeah. I'm looking at 7.5 for this guy. And then Martial, yep. 9.5. And it's the same price for Rashford, 9.5.
I have the same three prices, Brandon, for those three players. How do you like that?
That's yeah, great.
Exactly the same. I know. And those are kind of like, I thought we might be like totally off on those two. But yeah, I agree with you on all of them. I think the really interesting question, though, is do you make them all forwards? Because it seems kind of silly to do that. And it feels like Mason Greenwood would certainly, there are players who are midfielders who play in a really attacking mode like Mason Greenwood who are considered midfielders and not forwards, you know? So I think that he's the one who I think you could maybe, and that would be really fun. I mean, if Mason Greenwood's a 7.5 million midfielder, that is, that's pretty tempting. You know, that'll be kind of interesting. I mean, who knows if it'll happen, but it just seems weird. I'm with you. Like to have three forwards, you know, it's like messes up the game a little bit. Yeah. All right. So, Bruno, 8 goals, 8 assists, 18. He's like Firmino, but one number down. 8 goals, 8 assists, 18 bonus points in 14 appearances. Started the season at 8 million, ended the season at 9 million. What does Bruno come in at, Brandon?
His track record, just in the half season that he played, was staggering. So, I think they could really price the crap out of Bruno. But I think just because of his limited minutes in the league, they'll pull up the reins somewhere around 10.5.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's fair. I have met 10 million, but I think that I think 10.5 is reasonable. I was sort of thinking the same way, where I was like, how much can this guy jump in one half season? Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I think even something like 11 would actually be probably reasonable given his return. His returns.
It's the penalties, right, so, too. The penalties, I think, carry a bit of price with them as well.
That's true. That's true, actually. All right. So we're going through like a lightning round, Brandon. I think we've got 7 players for 6 teams coming up here. So St. Max, I wanted to have a Newcastle player here. 3 goals, 5 assists. Missed a lot of time through injury. 5.5 million to start. Where does St. Max come in?
Six even for the great headband wearing player in the Premier League.
All right, I'm a little lower. I've got him at 5.5 million. all right, well, how about John Lundstrom?
John Lundstrom, this is the one trophy that Lundstrom will win. He gets a full 1.0 price jump over last season. He'll come in at 5.0. As a midfielder, if he were to be a midfielder that started every match, they'd give him 5.5. But, you know, not everyone can start after Berg. Hmm. Berg is just he's too big to overcome. So I think he's 5.0.
Okay, I'm higher than you in this one. I have 5.5 for Lundstrom. I think he comes in a little bit higher than that. I also agree that he's classified as a midfielder for sure. Southampton, Danny Ings, started the season at 6 million, ended at 7.6. That is surely the highest price jump of any player. 22 goals, 2 assists, 40 bonus points. I think that's the highest bonus points of anybody as well. Automatic. He scored a goal. He was going to get 3 bonus, except in game week 36. So what do you think Danny Ings comes in at?
Yeah, I think he's going to be at the fun price of 8.0.
Ah, okay. 8.0 is actually that is a fun price. I have him at the Giroud price of 8.5 million.
Less
classic
fun.
Giroud Arsenal price. Yeah, less fun. So yeah, I'm a little higher than you. I just think 22 goals. It's gotta be kind of high. All right, Harry Kane and Heung-Min Son.
I have no joy with Spurs, none at all. I think that these players get the same price tag they got at the start of last season. So Kane on 11, Son on 9.5. If broken, don't fix it.
Yeah, I've got Kane at 11 as well, and I have Son at 10 million. It'd be interesting to see, you know, Kane could actually end up being a pretty good deal at 11 million if he shows some of the form that he showed at the end of last season. He looked awesome at moments down the stretch in a way that he hasn't in like 2 years. So we'll see, but he's also like notoriously a slow starter, you know? So, you know, we'll see. West Brom, Brandon, Charlie Austin back in our lives. He, had a whopping 10 goals and 2 assists and 34 championship appearances last year. I don't know how fun he's really been for about 5 years, but it's fun to have him back.
It is fun. We welcome it. I don't know that he will really get that many minutes. He seems like a sort of a glamour sub for West Brom. And, you know, he might be keen to get a goal here, a goal there, but I think he's a 5.0 striker for West Brom.
Yeah, this is a classic. Wasn't sure yet the best player to put in for West Brom, so I put him in. So we'll talk more about West Brom in upcoming pods. What did you have his price at again? Sorry.
Oh, with a whopping 5.0. Can you afford it?
I had him at 6. I think I thought he was more of a starter than a sub. I think as I saw him play some minutes in some West Brom that I saw right down the stretch there. So you know the championship a little better than I do. So I think that might be the difference there.
Yeah, you think you're going up with Charlie Austin in the year 2020? Not likely.
I don't know. Yeah, proven striker. All right, Antonio for West Ham. I thought about including Allaire in here too, but I'm just going to go with Antonio. 10 goals, 4 assists, 8 bonus points. I guess 4 of those goals did come in one match. started the season at 7, ended at 7.1. Two questions for you. What is the starting price and what position does he come in at?
Good one. I don't... It's a good question. West Ham made a lot of signings before last season, and Allaire being one of them. And I think the assumption was the likes of Antonio. And Antonio, in his career, has been, you know, classified as a fullback. I don't know if he has in terms of FPL, yeah. But it's kind of a position he's been groomed to play. But, yeah, I could see him being made a forward, particularly if West Ham look like they're going to stick with him up front. 7.5, I feel like he's going to get a bump after those 10 goals.
Yeah, I have him as a 7.5 million forward as well. And I do that with the full understanding that he was playing there out of necessity, but he played well in that role. Like, yeah. I don't know why. Like, they stayed up, and it was, you know, a big part of that was through him. I don't know why you then decide, well, you're not, you know, our quote-unquote forward, so we don't play you there anymore, despite the fact that we were winning with you. It doesn't really... track for me, you know. So I hope he keeps playing as a forward. He's like I'd like to have him on my team again. He's a fun player. We might need forwards in that price range next year, so I'm into it. All right, Brandon, last team, Wolves. I've got 4 players here, probably too many, but I had to
cut
a couple people on there. It is a fun team. So Matt Doherty seemed like he came in too high at the start of the season at 6 million, but ended with 4 goals, 8 assists, 12 clean sheets, 15 bonus points, started the season at 6 million, ended at 6.5. What is Matt Doherty's starting price next year, Brandon?
This is a really tough one because it makes it even more stark that he ended up back at 6.5 after they mm-hmm. downgraded him to 6.0. There's a temptation for me to say FPL sets it right again and puts him at 6.5, but I don't know. That 6.0 price tag is awfully tasty, and I think he's back at 6.0.
I think he is too. I think 6.5 might happen just because that would be annoying. And so uh-huh. It would not be surprising. But I think you're right. I think 6.0 is the right price. Just very quickly, Daniel Podens. I just like this guy. He's someone I really think could be a key player for them next year. Only 1 goal and 1 assist and 9 appearances. But to watch him is to be excited about his play. Started the season at 5.5, ended at 4.9. What is his price?
I just decided to price him up a little bit at 6.0. Just I don't really know. I mean I do think he's gonna play a lot more. He'd been groomed. He is a midfielder, which kind of opens him up to a slightly higher price tag. So I could see 6.5 given that he'll be playing farther forward. So I'm kind of tempted by 6.5, but 6.0 is where I landed.
I was kind of all over the place with this one too. I ultimately put him at 5.5 as price for last season. I just didn't really know where to put him, but I wanted to note him here because I think he is a player that people should keep an eye out for next season. And then we have the forwards, Jimenez and Jota. The Jimenez is obviously the key player here. 17 goals, 7 assists, 33 bonus points. Started the season at 7.5, ended at 8. I just throw Jota on because I think he could be at a really attractive price if they sort of price him as they probably should, given his returns. So 7 goals, 3 assists, 12 bonus points, but, you know, really, really dangerous on his day and in form. So what are the prices for Jimenez and Jota next season?
Yeah, I thought Jimenez was really underpriced. I remember us talking about this at the start of last season when he came in at 7.5 after having a really good season the season prior. Yep. I thought he was going to be priced at least 8.0. So I could see Jimenez as a 9.5 striker, just given now his like proven season upon season record. But he also has this record of being kind of underpriced. And I think at 9.0, it's somewhere in between. I feel like it's kind of just enough, might be a little underpriced. It makes him a little harder to fit into your side. It feels right. So 9.0 for Jimenez, and then Jota for me is much cheaper, as you say. It's the compelling sort of, if not him, then him. And at 7.0, you know, after we give Jota his standard 4 weeks grace period where he can't even dribble the ball, maybe he's worth 7.0.
Wow, I've got 6 for Jota. So we've got a big difference there. I just think I actually would love for him to come in at 5.5 and make people really sweat. Yeah. I think that would be,
Think Jimenez drags him up a little bit by necessity.
That's true. That's a good way of thinking about it. It's kind of like the Liverpool defenders. All right, Brandon, that's 46 players predicted.
Before we move on, I didn't get your Jimenez price. Let's lock this in. What did you have Jimmy at?
Oh, I had the same price as you, $9 million. I think that's the perfect price for him. Yeah. I think that I'm totally with you there. And you make a good case for Jota. I just think based on his returns, I think 6 is probably the right price. All right. Well, that's your pod. Thank you for listening. And thank you to all the Patreons who support the podcast. And really keep us motivated. So if you'd like to support the podcast and get access to a bunch of new stuff that we're rolling out next season, you go to patreon.com/alwayscheating. And Brandon, would you mind just quickly saying thank you to our Patreon producer patrons?
As quickly as I can, but not to sell them short, Josh.
Big thanks
to our producers, Trevor Ingerson, Mike DiPietro, Chris Howell, Andy Penn, Martin Savage, Brian T, the Big Gaffer, Bobas Kuhn, Jeff Husby, Ben Grant, James Holland, Jazz Binning, Dave Wagner, Lodahl, Nick Wright, Jim Payne, Brian Chin, Blair Jacobson, Frederick Kean, Gransky, Travis West, Alan Creasy, Victor Forberg, Skoging, Paul Hertzig, Kaya Christine Lalang, Peter Bodektel, Andy Portlock, Toothless Gibbon, Lindsay Rostel, Anton Markov, FPLmerch.com, James Conroy, Brandon B., Paul Scanlon, Kieran Screeton, and James Hurd. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to the Always Cheating Podcast wherever good podcasts are found. Follow us on social media everywhere where you get your social media. For all this and more, including the Always Cheating shop, visit us at alwayscheating.com.
Yep, and we're going to disappear again and reappear when the game launches. Will that be this week, next week, 2 weeks from now, a month from now? Who knows?
September 12th.
When the game is back, so will we be. So we'll talk to you again soon, folks, and thank you for listening, and enjoy your August. All right, bye.
Poku forever.
All right, guys, as we head out of here, just a quick note. Sports are coming back, and so are your chances to bet on your favorite teams and events. Major League Baseball is back in action. There's no better place to start wagering than our exclusive partners, Bet Online. Check out all the odds, futures, and props to bet on, all available 24/7. And with the return of sports, Bet Online sat down with former pro players Eddie George, Harold Reynolds, and 7-time NBA champ Robert Ory. That's a fun mix of players, Brandon. I like all 3 of those players. Especially Eddie George, a tall running back. I always liked a tall running back. Hear what they had to say on what it's like to be playing without fans in a series they're calling Fandemic. Visit betonline.ag for all your odds and up-to-date sports news. Remember to use code BLUEWIRE to receive your new welcome bonus. That's promo code BLUEWIRE. BetOnline, your online wagering experts.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.